Argument this morning is Neri against Monroe.
Lawyers galore.
Ms. Neri, please approach the podium.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I am Quincy Neri, and I'm representing myself today. This is a copyright infringement case from the Wisconsin Western District concerning my art glass sculpture of Mendota Reflection. My position is that my copyright is valid, and I am the author of Mendota Reflection. Defendants had insurance coverage for their infringements, and I did not get my due process from the district court heirs. I have a registered copyright certificate, which is prima facie evidence of its validity before I filed suit. All defendants admitted that they used my copyright in their own testimonies. I have direct evidence that they used my idea and my copyright in their own advertising from the very beginning.
Neri, what role did Ms. Hughes play in producing the sculpture?
She didn't produce any of the sculpture.
I didn't ask. Well, maybe I put that wrong. What role did Ms. Hughes play?
She was the homeowner of Pinckney Holdings, the condo that I made the art glass sculpture for. She was the homeowner.
She made no suggestions about placement or arrangement or anything else?
No, not at all. She was never there during installation at all. They weren't living in the condo at the time. And during time of installation, it was from 7 at night until 7 in the morning the next day. She had no input at all. She didn't even care what I did, really. Also, the defendants all had insurance coverage under their personal and advertising injury policies. I've been blowing glass since 1996. I am one of the few women glassblowers in the country who has made an impact in the field with regards to creating new techniques of glassblowing that has never been done before. Today, I brought in a piece that I made that is part of Mendota Reflection. As soon as I finished the piece, I placed it in the 890-degree oven. It was fixed in a tangible meaning of expression after that point. In fact, I did this 125 times. I used over 1,200 pounds of glass. I also made my own color. It's kind of like when you bake a cake. Some people go to the baking already in a box cake mix, and then some people use their original ingredients. That's what I did. I used original ingredients. This was an enormous, spectacular glass installation. These pieces were then mounted into a huge barrel vault ceiling, which the length was 20 feet long by 14 feet wide and 4 feet deep. So if you can imagine over 100 of these pieces above your head, you would understand how enormous this thing is. Judge Crabb stated in her first order on August 30th, 2011, that I have a registered copyright for these pieces that are Mendota Reflection, and I did not sell my design to any defendants or give them written permissions to use it. Judge Crocker erred in that the Copyright Office letters were hearsay. Defendants had access to all communications, so had a chance to refute the information. According to 17 U.S.C. and 411B and 412, a mistake on a copyright application would not render it invalid, regardless of whether the certificate contains any inaccurate information. The courts could have called the Copyright Office regarding any mistakes or inaccuracies, or if they had any doubts of validity. Law firms use the same process of application and registration for clients to obtain valid copyright certificates. Judge Crocker also rejected the application approach, which would have sufficed for validity according to the Seventh Circuit in 411A. At the beginning, Your Honors, I was surprised that the defendants did use my copyright on their website. But now I've learned this case is more than about copyright infringement. It's about insurance. At the beginning, there were many people involved, and more people got involved, and it just kept escalating into numerous occurrences. For a 4-year period of time, this case got big real fast. Appellees could have settled without going to litigation because their policy states that they are covered for infringing on a copyright. The language does not state infringing on a registered copyright certificate. From my understanding, the definition of copyright is a common law copyright which every author of work has from the time of creation until 17 years after their death. Insurance companies have a duty to defend with a reasonable defense. They use dilatory actions to postpone settlement for interests of their own and over their insured. Appellees knew my copyright certificate was valid, so they created a joint authorship defense but refused to submit their financials throughout litigation to support their theory. These issues I'm bringing up concern public policy for a few reasons. Everyday people are paying premiums to have security that they are covered when something happens to them. For example, when I buy life insurance...
Ms. Nary, insurance is quite irrelevant. There's nothing you can gain by discussing it. I have a question about what you registered or attempted to register.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever tender to the Register of Copyrights the drawings from which the physical sculpture was created?
Yes, Your Honor, I had.
When?
The very first application, I believed I put in drawings that I did on the computer, layout designs. It was in the uploaded deposits.
Part of the artwork of Q compilation?
Yes.
Well, did you ever attempt to do it separately?
Yes, it's pending right now. In fact, I have numerous copyrights pending on all aspects of the glass, from the lighting design to the hardware to all my drawings I did in sketchbooks.
Well, and you're then going forward here, but that's still pending?
It's pending right now.
Harry, do you have any other? Have you had any other intellectual property litigation?
No, Your Honor. Yes. This is my first. If I may continue. Finally, I feel I did not get my due process. There were many inconsistencies between Judge Crabb and Judge Crocker's orders. Judge Crocker
appealed Judge Crabb's order. See, there's nothing you can do in this case about Judge Crabb's order. If
okay.
you think she made a mistake, you have to appeal separately and argue about her order in that case. Have you appealed from her order?
No, I was just, during this whole process, Judge Crabb had the case, and then Judge Crocker had the case, and then it went back to Judge Crabb. So it was just very confusing for me.
There are separate cases.
Not with the first one. No. No, Your Honor. She ruled on a couple of opinions. In January, Judge Crocker took over the case because Judge Crabb had too much on her plate. And then she ruled on Mr. Rigsby's intervening as a plaintiff. And she told me, she said, please, you know, stick to the schedule and don't amend anything. So I didn't amend anything. I didn't amend my second copyright, the process of Mendota Reflection. And then I found out later that Judge Crocker said, well, why didn't you amend that? So that's part of my confusion.
Counsel, there are separate cases resolved in the district court. One of them is case number 429. That's the case on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
The other is case number 600. That's the case that Judge Crabb decided.
Mm-hmm.
They're separate, independent pieces of litigation. And if you want to contest Judge Crabb's order, you need to appeal in that case. There's no argument you can make in the 429 case that will be relevant to what Judge Crabb did. Now, it may be that there's no time left for you to appeal, but you need to understand that there are two separate pieces of litigation.
I do, Your Honor. Thank you.
You're into your rebuttal time, too.
Oh, this is my rebuttal time as well?
A little white light went on. It meant you're into your rebuttal.
Okay, I'll rebuttal.
You can't rebut now. There's nothing to rebut.
Okay.
Sit down and wait for him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Neri. Mr. Barber.
Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the Court. This Court should affirm the decision of the District Court for three separate and independent reasons. First, Ms. Neri, by her own admissions, in her deposition, and in her reply brief to this Court, has conceded that she is not the author of the sculpture she calls Mendota Reflection because she did not make any contribution to its creation that is independently copyrightable.
I must say, I don't even comprehend this argument. Let us suppose that Mr. Schomburg is a joint author of the individual glass pieces, which he blew, and that he contributed to those pieces. If I understand this correctly, the claim of copyright is in the arrangement of those pieces into the large display. And Schomburg didn't arrange the pieces into the large display, he just blew them. So in what sense is Schomburg the co-author of the display, the sculpture?
And Your Honor, and this has been one of the difficulties in this case, is Ms. Neri's claims have been a moving target. In her deposition, she stated she's claiming this whole thing is one copy, this whole thing is one sculpture, that all these 60 pieces in the ceiling, that's the copyright she's claiming.
Certainly what I understand. It's a claim of authorship in the sculpture, not in the individual glass components of it.
Correct, but she did not actually create any of the individual glass components.
It's completely irrelevant. If she had made a sculpture from Campbell's soup cans, you could have a copyright in the sculpture even though she didn't make any of the soup.
Or cans.
In fact, if she had cut out copies of Andy Warhol's soup cans and made them into a sculpture, she could have a copyright in the sculpture even though Andy Warhol painted the soup cans.
I understand that, Your Honor, but she did not attempt to register Mendota Reflection itself as a collection of other pieces.
No. Look, it's just one sculpture. If you go outside this building and you look at the huge Calder Stabile, the Calder Stabile outside, the huge piece of work, piece of art in the courtyard, is made up of several structural steel pieces. There's no copyright in each piece of steel. It's a copyright in all of them together. That's a copyrightable sculpture. So is Mendota Reflection. Any contrary argument is not worth the time it takes to articulate it.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to contest one thing that Ms. Neri said.
We also have a sculpture on the wall over here. It looks like a lattice, too. I'm not sure. Does it have the same application?
It's so ugly that I hate to think that a copyright could consist in it.
Ms. Neri did admit in her deposition that the homeowner, Linda Hughes, actually picked out the colors and the layout for the sculpture. So the extent that she's claiming a copyright...
Ms. Neri just flatly denied that.
Well, let's see here, page... This is page 17. When asked, you agree that...
17 of what?
The defendant's, defendant appellee's combined response brief. When asked, quote...
What you say is of no moment. What are you quoting from? Where did Ms. Neri say this?
This is her deposition, docket number 65, condensed transcript, page 119, lines 20 through 22.
So your position is that she conceded at the deposition that Hughes participated in the selection and arrangement.
Hughes picked out which colors.
You say that her current answer is inconsistent with her deposition.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Have you argued, has anybody argued, that Linda Hughes is a third author of this sculpture?
No, we have not made that argument because Linda Hughes was originally a party to the suit and was then dismissed out. She's been brought in a separate state court lawsuit.
I'm lost.
Okay.
If you have a work made jointly by multiple people, any of the authors can consent to any use as a matter of copyright law. So if, on your view, based on that deposition answer, Linda Hughes is a third author of this sculpture, then her consent is a perfect defense for all defendants. And you say you acted with her consent. If she is not a third author, as Ms. Neri just said on her feet, then it's no defense. But you don't seem to have made this defense. It's a total puzzle.
We did not make the argument that Linda Hughes herself was a joint author. We did make the argument that Fritz Schomburg, in essence, gave Linda Hughes an unlimited license, and yeah, Linda Hughes...
That argument is not worth the paper it's printed on. But the argument that Hughes is an author, given what you attributed to the deposition, is a powerful argument, and not made.
Correct. That argument was not made, Your Honor. If I could move on to addressing the actual rationale of the district court. This court should affirm the district court's rationale that the artwork of Q is not a valid registration for an unpublished collection because its constituent elements were not arranged in an orderly fashion. And indeed, they are simply various random pieces of Ms. Neri's artwork that have nothing to do with one another and that are located in entirely different places. In accordance with 37 CFR 202.34B1B, in order to have a single work registered with multiple elements, they must be, quote, combined in a single unpublished collection. And collective work is defined in 17 U.S.C. 101 as various elements that are assembled into a collective whole. There is no collective whole here. There is no single collection. What Ms. Neri did was take various pictures, apparently, of all of her artwork and tried to register it as my stuff. Now, she did have a booklet that she also calls the artwork of Q. That booklet did have some pictures of some of her sculptures. And as the district court correctly noted, that booklet itself could be a collection. However, that booklet did not include pictures of Mendota Reflection. So these are just random pieces of artwork. They don't meet either the statutory definition for a collective work or compilation, and they do not meet the requirement under the copyright regulations that they are combined in a single unpublished collection and assembled in an orderly form. And then finally, as an alternative means of affirming the district court, this court should rule that even if it finds that the artwork of Q is a valid unpublished collection, that the copyright does not extend to its individual constituent elements outside of the collection. And we recognize that there is conflicting case law on this issue. However, we believe that the cases we have cited are more consistent with the language of the Copyright Act, specifically Section 4099, which requires that an application must provide an identification of any pre-existing works that it is based on or works that it incorporates. And that was not done here. Also, Section 205C1 provides that recordation of the certificate.
Is the artwork of Q booklet in the record?
The actual booklet is not physically in the record, no.
Well, is there a copy of it in the record?
No. The only thing that...
If we don't have it in the record, how do we know whether it was accurate or a compilation? We have opposing descriptions of what it was. If we don't have it in the record, how can we affirm a decision of the district court that's based on an understanding of what it is?
With respect, Your Honor, I'm fairly certain Ms. Neri conceded at her deposition that the booklet, the artwork of Q, did not include the photographs of Mendota Reflection.
I have no idea how we can figure out what this booklet is or isn't without a copy of it. We are entitled, district court had to review it, we have to review it. To the extent the judgment in your favor depends on an understanding of what this document is, the fact that it's not in the record seems, well, really important.
Well, it is Ms. Neri's burden to show a valid copyright.
No, and after excuse me. This is a motion for summary judgment by the defense. It is the proponent of the motion for summary judgment that must adduce all of the evidence needed to support the relief sought. That means you had to put it in the record and tell us why it supported your view.
if I may respond, Your Honor. The deposition testimony was undisputed on this point, and the district court made a specific factual finding that the booklet artwork
of Q... No findings of fact can be made on motions for summary judgment. Findings of fact are for the trier of fact. There can only be summary judgments based on undisputed facts.
The district
and
court...
to figure out what the booklet artwork of Q is as an undisputed matter, we need the booklet artwork of Q.
May I just respond with one quick sentence?
Sure.
And I believe the district court found it was an undisputed fact that the artwork of Q did not include pictures of Mendota reflection. Yes, I think that's reflected in the decision. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Very quickly, Your Honors, I just wanted to rebuttal on a couple of things. As for my testimony for depositions, a lot of everything Mr. Barber is saying was taken out of context. I'm very much so the author of this work. Linda Hughes agreed that she liked the piece, so I was happy for that. As far as my copyright is concerned, it never was a group registration. I satisfied all the elements.
Ms. Mary, do you agree with Mr. Barber that the booklet artwork of Q is not in our record?
No, it's not in your record. I have the booklet right here if you'd like to see it.
No. We only want to see what is in the record. But it's very difficult for me to understand how the judgment can be based one way or the other on a belief about the contents of a book the judiciary has never seen.
Well, I think the copyright was more than just the book. When I registered this, the artwork of
you have a copyright registration in this book, Ms. Neri, but
no,
the district court believed that Mendota reflection was not depicted in it. That was the belief on which summary judgment was granted. That belief may be right or wrong. Very difficult for us to verify whether it was right or wrong.
I don't even know if it really matters, too, because I have other...
Oh, it matters.
Well,
did you ever give that, tender that catalog to the district judge?
No, I did not, Your Honor.
So she didn't see it either?
No.
Or he didn't?
No.
He or it?
In my uploaded deposits, I uploaded pictures and drawing material of Mendota reflection. Also in those uploaded deposits were other material that I wanted to use later in a publication of my best work. And I had made that booklet, and I thought, well, I might as well put it in here too because I could use it later as a group, as a whole catalog, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Neri.
Thank you for this honor.
This is taken under advisement.